The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Welcome in for the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. I'm Derek Wozniak. Across the way is John Sweeney. That's right, folks. Happy New Year. It's January 2018, and you're with Sweeney and the Woz.
Happy New Year.
And as 2017 turned to 2018, us sports fans in New York well aware that the Jets, they stink, and the Giants, a rare year of being horrific. The Knicks, they're the best sub-500 team in professional sports, according to many tweets that I see. The Mets, they stink. The Yankees, yeah, they won 27 titles. Who really cares what they're doing? The Steinbrenners will find a way to screw that up somewhere along the line anyway, despite getting Stanton.
Yeah.
But right now in New York, I have to say, in the hockey world, the New York Rangers, my team, are climbing the standings.
Oh, here we go.
And the Islanders... I'm in the basement.
We're going the other way fast.
Do I think I have a song to play? A staple of the show? To describe how I feel right now. Turn it up, Rye. Mr. Sweeney, can you smell what the New York hockey world is cooking for you come this spring? It may be early golf for you.
Listen, I said it before the season started. Pittsburgh, Rangers, Washington, and I'm giving Tortorella, Columbus, Blue Jackets, the top four teams. Listen, the Islanders are always going to be, unless they make a couple of deals and some of these young kids mature, are always going to be attempting to get into the playoffs while the Rangers are be competing, kind of like the Yankees, for the cup. They're a little different. Like, the Yankees always compete. Rangers always compete. The Islanders, you know, God knows, been here 12 years.
You got a new arena, though.
Got a new arena. Belmont.
You can still break that all summer long.
I want Tavares to sign.
Sign them.
Extension.
I do have some good news for you at 9.05 p.m., however.
You got some good news at 9.05.
It is late in the second period, and Boston has scored 3 unanswered goals somehow.
They tie it up.
Between the time we arrived here for the show.
I told you Tuukka.
And started our show right now.
So here we go. So we're not last right now.
4 minutes to go in the second. Boston leads Pittsburgh 4-3. And you might not be in the basement after this evening's over. You may be a point ahead of the Penguins.
Yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that
But they do have 2 Stanley Cups to last.
That's my outlook. Look, the bottom line is when the season's over, Pittsburgh's still going to be there. They have 2 other young goalies that are coming up that are phenomenal. They're just like, they're stacked. They got an all-star team. They'll get their act together like you guys did. But let me just tell you one little thing. Your king has been playing off the charts. That's the main reason why you guys are...
Are you talking about Hammer and Hank?
Hammer and Hank has been playing off the charts.
Well, he is.
He is
a Hall of Fame goalie,
top
isn't
five.
He? Is he not a Hall
yes,
of Fame
sir.
Goalie?
Yes, sir. He's a Hall
and
of Fame.
And why is he a Hall of Fame goalie?
Because he won a gold medal and
because
a silver
he has
medal.
International achievements.
Right. Gold and silver.
Gold and silver in the Olympics.
Right.
And what else does he have?
30 wins every year. Plus.
He has extreme statistical accomplishments in the regular season.
Yes.
He's one of the great regular season goalies.
Well, let me tell you something. You got something for me at 9:05.
However, there is something missing from his resume, so don't go overboard. Because we know
that
once the playoffs start, as soon as the Rangers start to stumble at some point in the playoffs, you start tweeting and texting out pictures of Lundqvist crying and asking how many cups does he have to drink in his house
right.
and all that kind of stuff. So don't try to set me up.
A lot.
As I try to strengthen the mental fortitude of my goalie for the Stanley Cup playoff run, don't try to soften me up with your double talk.
Lundqvist is pretty soft.
We know what lurks behind those orange and blue eyes of yours. We know.
Lundqvist,
we know what you're hoping for.
I'll tell you one guy that has more cups than him. Maybe four
There's
more.
A lot of guys that have more
Billy
cups
Smith
than him.
Billy Smith has one.
Billy Smith is the exact opposite of
yes.
Lundqvist.
Yes, he is. I agree with you.
Not as good nearly as a regular season goalie.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
Way more playoff clutch. And you know what? And forget the 4 Stanley Cups, because everyone knows about. That's an easy one to bring up, that he was a part of 4 Stanley Cups. And, you know, if somebody wants to be negative, well, you know, yeah, Trottier and Bossy and I don't even care about any of that. You don't have to point to anything other than the way he played in the 1983 Stanley Cup, against the Edmonton Oilers. And what I mean by that is, if you go through all the Edmonton playoff games, this is the year before Edmonton finally dropped your drive for five.
But we were in 5 years, right?
In the gutter, okay? The Islanders won their fourth Stanley Cup. During that playoff run in that spring of 1983.
We all know that very well.
The Oilers were destroying teams in the playoffs. They were running up scores. And if you looked at the scores, I don't have them in front of me, but if you looked at the scores, I'll pull them up afterwards. Of those, and they swept the Oilers. But if you looked at the final score in those games, you would never know that the Oilers were a high-powered offense. So, like, it wasn't just that Billy Smith beat the Oilers. He shut them down.
He shut them down.
You know, they weren't coming out of those games with 20 shots on net. You know? They were producing the opportunities, and he just, I mean, he played out of his mind.
What did you say the Boston-Pittsburgh game was, score?
4-3.
Now it's 5-3.
Boston. So it's 5-3 before the end of the second period.
With two
and that is the problem with you trying to put Pittsburgh in the top four in the regular season.
Listen,
now,
I'm
not going to laugh at Pittsburgh because they won the last two Stanley
Cups. Oh, of course,
yeah. But they have the same problem as your team. They can't stop teams from scoring on them.
Right. And that's a major
host of problems going on, you know, with some young defensemen and how they play as a team defensively. But unlike yours, they have a couple of cups in their back pocket most recently. And they got five in their franchise history, which is pretty good, too.
And they're going for number three.
So
which we don't want.
They could stand to miss the playoffs if that's the case.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I do feel for you.
The Kings beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup, and they missed the playoffs the next year. Do you think I was sitting there laughing at the Kings? I don't think so.
No.
I think I would rather have the Rangers win a cup and then miss the playoffs for 20 straight years.
20?
I probably wouldn't care.
Well, hold on now.
I want another cup, all right?
All right.
I got one.
You got one in 94.
I didn't have to commit suicide. My life was complete. But at this point in my life, I just want to see them win one more time.
So every 20 years, let's see, what is it, 94?
No, I just want to see them win one more time. I'm going to be 50 years old. I'm going to turn 49 in February, which is a cruel, harsh reminder of how long it's been since the Jets won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because I was born a month after they won their own Super Bowl. And then next year I turn 50. So I'm almost about to enter my 50s. The Rangers only have to win one Stanley Cup. Lundqvist only has to win one Stanley Cup. And I will wear his jersey every day for the rest of my life while I have my morning coffee. I've told this to everybody. No.
Every day.
Now, I won't buy the jersey. Between my family, my cousins, they will buy the jersey.
You'll put it on.
And I will personally hug Hank and ask him to sign it for me. And then I will wear it every day the rest of my life, sipping coffee. Got it?
And I want to post it on Facebook every day.
Every day. That's fine.
For a year.
Yeah, that's fine.
For a year, every day of your life.
If he doesn't win, then my only dream is if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup for me, through this historical Hall of Fame career for him, being arguably the best European goalie.
You hear it, folks.
Okay? If he doesn't win me a Stanley Cup, then the next goalie that comes in for the Rangers should be this Russian kid that's burying teams over in the KHL.
It's different.
I hope he wins a Stanley Cup his first year.
Well, what if Lindqvist gets you to the Cup,
that's my hope.
And then he gets hurt, and...
And Pavlik
wins it. What happens with that?
Wear a Pavlik jersey.
Oh, so you don't wear. And Lindqvist gets you.
No, Lindqvist has to win the cup.
But Lindqvist gets you there. He gets hurt before the cup starts.
That'd be like Phil Simms taking me, and then Hostetler wins the Super Bowl. And then I'm not going to wear a Phil Simms jersey. Now Simms won in '86. He was.
I got a little surprise for you, my friend. At 9:30.
However, if what you described happens, then I would have to wear a Pavlik jersey.
Of course,
if Pavlik wins me the cup.
He's not going to win you a cup, man.
Are you kidding me?
I'm just hypothetically speaking, but you know that's not happening.
At all.
You know that's far-fetched not happening. I can't believe Boston came back. They were down 3-1.
Well, Boston's on a hot streak. What do you mean you can't believe?
No, Tuca.
Boston is 23-10-6. 8-0-2 in their last 10 games.
They're insane.
They've
man.
Lost two regulation games since the beginning.
And they have
of
one
December.
Of the dirtiest players
since
on the
beginning of
the
December, they've lost two regulation games, and you can't believe that they came back against Pittsburgh?
But they have one of the dirtiest players in the league.
They've given up before tonight over 130 goals. And after tonight, it'll be close to 140. And the only team to give up more than them is who?
The New York Islanders.
And how many goals have they given up, Mr. Sweeney?
Was it 230?
158 goals they've given up.
Well, how many have they?
There are three reasons why the Islanders stink. Do you want to know what they are?
Yeah.
The defense. They can't stop teams from scoring.
Right. Defense is
two. They stink on the road. Three. You know what number three is? And even more important, especially in the playoffs, they can't kill penalties to save their life.
Right.
They stink.
You know, today they let up another shorthanded goal. That's the ninth
one. I didn't see that
shorthanded goal. The worst in the league.
That was a pretty top-shelf goal, though.
Yeah, but listen,
I can't blame Halak.
The ninth goal shorthander in the league. They are the worst team in the league with shorthand.
That's interesting. You know what? What's even more shocking? The Rangers don't have a shorthanded goalie yet this year, and usually they're good for a few. But that was the ninth one the Islanders gave up?
Yes.
So they stink on the power play, too, basically, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Not good.
Very much. Well, look, they got a lot of guys. Look, Boychuk's out.
And they scored
the Hans done for the year. The defense is weak. They brought up this Sebastian Aho.
Aho, A-H-O?
Yeah. And he had his first point the third game and his first assist today. But you know what, though? He's an offensive scoring kid. And I think they need a shutdown defenseman, though. That's what they need, a defenseman that shuts you down. They got to go out and make a deal, and they got to get a shutdown defenseman. That's my opinion with the Islanders. Look, the goaltending, Halak off the carrier, Grice. It just
I don't even think about us who plays out of those two.
But you know what? If you're getting 35, 40, 45 shots a game on you,
right?
I mean, unless you're a top five goalie in the league, you're not. They don't have a top. They're in the 20s. These guys. But maybe Grice is even a little worse. And I like the guy. I met him. Great guy. But he's worse. You know, but you need the guys. They don't block shots out in front. There's a lot of things going on. They could score on anybody. Bailey's out now. Ladd missed today's game. They lost two key components to their offense right now. Yeah, Bailey's on an all-star. This is the greatest year he had.
It's a shame.
10 years in the league, he finally does something.
It's really a shame.
It is a shame, considering the
year
he's
having. I'm really disappointed for you.
Well, here we go.
I can hear the disappointment in your voice.
Yes. And I'm waiting to see what happens when Hank goes down, because historically, for the last 3 years, Hank has gone down.
Last time I checked, he went down 1 year.
3 years in a row.
And Talbot played to the tune of like 22-3-2.
Where's Talbot
over
now?
Over a 25-30 game.
Okay, where's Talbot right now?
And the Rangers won the President's Trophy.
Right.
After they went to your house in the last season at the Coliseum and came back as you were chanting, "You can't beat us," and beat you 6-5 in one of the greatest regular season games between the two teams.
I don't even remember that.
All right,
that,
so the Rangers... The Rangers have proven, and they did it last year with Ranta.
Where's Ranta?
I'm out of time, too. Well, he's in Arizona.
Where's Talbot?
And he's in Edmonton. And neither one of them is doing that well there. Now, Talbot was good in his first year with Edmonton.
No, Talbot
but Talbot
had 40
is not
wins.
Having a strong season this year.
Yeah, but he had 40 wins.
Last year was a workhorse. Yeah. He had a Marty Brodeur season, work-wise.
Right.
All right, his team didn't play. They was a little bit better defensively. Made the playoffs.
Right.
Made some noise. But this year,
Edmonton,
he got injured. And performance-wise, not nearly as strong. And Ranta, it's tough out in Arizona. They have like 10 wins this year. Not easy to play.
You knew that was going to happen, though.
However, the Rangers have proven, right, unlike your team, when Tavares got hurt in 2014, the year of the Olympics.
Yes.
Got hurt in the Olympics.
Which is horrible.
The Islanders folded up camp, missed the playoffs.
Right.
Unlike your situation, the Rangers have clearly proven that they can win games without Lundqvist. And you can't say that that's not true.
That's what those
now,
two
they haven't had
that.
To play with it without him in the playoffs yet. But in the regular season,
right.
The Rangers have proven that it doesn't matter who's in net. They win games. So don't even try to go there. Just because you hear everyone, you know, singing praises. And listen, Hank has a lot of accomplishments. He just passed Tony Esposito, your favorite all-time goalie.
Yes, all-time. Yep.
And moved into eighth place all-time in wins with 424.
Yeah, but also, don't forget something goes on with the wins now. It's totally different now, too. Also, there's no ties anymore, and everyone's getting, you know, you're either getting
a
win or a
loss. There are differences in areas.
Yes.
At one point, there were no ties.
Yes.
There was no overtime.
There was ties.
Then at a time, there was a five-minute overtime only, and now you have shootouts. So there are a number of wins that he accumulated through shootouts that helped him get past Tony Esposito quicker. Doesn't mean he wouldn't pass them eventually. But that's, from era to era, you got to know how to analyze those numbers. But this is the way they treat it.
Bottom line, like you said, I agree with you 100%. The guy's a Hall of Famer.
And the guy's playing phenomenal. On our team is, the best player on our team is signed, has always been signed, never down to the last minute before signing him. Lundqvist has always had a contract and makes $10 million a year, whatever it is. And the Islanders finally get their first great player since the 80s.
That's right.
And... he's going down to the last 40 games without a new contract.
Well, that's what I
don't... So I got a question for you, Sweeney.
Yes, let's hear it.
There are only two hockey players in the NHL who have more than 50 points.
Right.
And of those 50 points, they have more than 20 goals. Do you know who those two players are?
Well, Tavares.
John Tavares is one of those two players.
Yes. Ovechkin?
No, Ovechkin does not have 50 points. Ovechkin has 27 goals now, but not over 50 points.
Stamkos?
Stamkos might have over 50 points, but he does not have 50 goals. He does not have more than 20 goals yet.
Oh, right.
He has 17, yes. I think, this morning when I looked.
Okay.
So there's one other guy that has more than 20 goals.
He's on Tampa.
And more than 50 points. He leads the league in scoring right now. He's the guy I keep telling you about. He's like a big duo with Stamkos. Who's his big partner?
Tell me his name. I can't
Nikita come. Kucherov.
Kucherov, right. Kucherov. He's awesome.
So those are the only two guys that have over 50 points, and of those, more than 20 goals. Kucherov and Tavares. One is signed.
Tavares had an assist today.
One is signed and might be viewed as only the third best player on his team, but he probably is the best player on their team right now. Outside of the goalie, who Vasilevsky might be the best.
Right.
The
well, they got a shutdown defenseman too.
Well, Kucherov, last time I checked, he had a contract.
Yeah. Tavares does not have a contract.
Your guy does not have a contract.
Johnny, JT does not have a contract.
But the Islanders and their fans have a new arena. So you guys could celebrate that over the next few years as they try to build it. As people probably try to block that getting done, I'm sure, politically. But
it's not
going to
happen. Cuomo's all back with it.
Cuomo's all over. You love Cuomo, right?
No, I do not. But I love him for that. I love him for this. It's the only thing I love him for. Let me tell you something. You're 100% right about that. But that's the key component to this whole thing is you're the owner of the Islanders, like me. What do? Lay it down. Give him $11 million a year. Sign this guy for long term.
I'm not blaming Gus Snow at all. It's the owners. You got two new owners, a lot of money.
Let's
and
do
arena
it.
Coming. They should just have Tavares over for dinner and give him his contract.
Give him the money. Pay the man.
Do something special.
Show me the money.
Do something special. Yeah. And while you're at it, make a couple of trades to help your team down the stretch.
They need a shutdown defenseman. Do we need a goalie? Yeah, I think so.
Would you lose five in a row before today?
Yes.
You know what's going to happen. I told you on the way in. What's going to happen?
They're going to beat the Rangers.
They're going to go to the guard. What are they
going to do? They're going to beat
them. They're going to beat the Rangers.
Which they get up
overtime shoot, whatever, right?
Right.
And then what's going to happen?
They're going to lose five in a row.
Then you're going to lose another five in a row. And the Rangers will win four out of the next five after that.
Yeah, but
they're climbing to second place.
But the Islanders having this break.
The
they need
five
this
break. Day
break. They need this.
They both have it at the same time.
They need the bye
week. It's interesting to me. They're both off Monday to Friday. Rangers play tonight in Vegas, right? Roll the dice. Then they're off for 5 days with the Islanders. And then Saturday.
Here we go.
They clash at the Garden.
I can't wait for that.
Round two. Rangers lost the first round in the shootout, right? Didn't the Islanders win a shootout?
Yeah.
What a joke.
But historically, for the last four or five years, the Islanders have beaten the Rangers.
That's about the only thing that they've done good is beat the Rangers and keep their fans
happy.
That's
enough for me. Listen, that could be my Stanley Cup right there, my friend. Mm. Like I'm telling you. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Here we go. We got about 10 minutes till the puck drops.
It's 9:20
in Vegas.
Just a reminder, folks, the number to call is 631-888-8811. I know you're all clamoring to get on the lines and talk sports with us. So give us a call if you're out there listening. If anybody's listening.
Yeah. If anybody's out there.
Is anybody out there? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, hello?
Let's turn this up. I want to talk about
one. Are we switching to football yet?
I want to talk about football real quick.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football. Let's talk about this fake news rumor.
Do we want to talk about the Pats first, or do we want to talk about how the Kansas City Chiefs broke the hearts of their fans once again? What was it, 21-3 at the half?
Yeah. But that was the weirdest play.
I actually took a nap.
Mariana.
I was officiating wrestling all day yesterday.
Mariana threw the pass, knocked up in the air, caught it, and ran it. I mean, that was
That was classic.
That was like, come on, man.
That was exciting.
Yeah, that was exciting.
You know who knocked that pass down?
Who was that?
That was Darrelle Revis.
Revis, yes.
That was classic. He almost made his best play ever in the playoffs, and it went for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I did smile at that.
Both home teams lost.
Can't say I'm too upset about that.
No, me either.
The Rams, they had a great
season.
But
I thought
in the playoffs. They got caught.
The
Falcons, big playoff run last year, good season, better defense.
They just don't do it for me.
They lost the Super Bowl. They had no business losing, showed a lot of character, getting right back to the playoffs, and they went to L.A., sunny California, and took care of business. I wasn't shocked by that because the Falcons' defense was better this year.
Can I just say something about New England?
But the Chiefs, man, remember that playoff game?
But the Chiefs were hot and cold this year.
Was it 2013 when they played the Colts? They were up like 38-10.
Yeah.
And they lost the game 45-44 or something like that.
That was lucky.
I mean, how many? Do you know that the Chiefs have won way more? Maybe they won 10 or 11 division titles. They've had way more regular season success than the Jets.
Oh, 100%.
But
yeah.
Since the merger, I'm only talking since 1970. Do you know how many playoff wins the Chiefs have? The Jets have 12 in their playoff history. They have 12 playoff wins. Do you know how many playoff wins the Chiefs have?
And I know I'm offhand, but I'm saying.
The Jets only won like two division titles.
Yeah.
In the NFL. In 98 and then 2002.
How many playoff wins does Kansas City have?
The Jets have 12 playoff wins in their team history. Yes. And since the merger, it's less because they won a Super Bowl. So they probably have 10 since the merger. Do you know how many wins the Chiefs have since the merger?
How many is that?
Four. That's horrible.
Horrible.
For a team that historically, they have way better regular season performances than the Jets.
Andy Reid, man. Get,
they've
get
lost
the,
some gut-wrenching playoff games over the last 10, 20, 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what's going to happen with Smith? You think he's gone?
Alex Smith?
Yeah.
I don't know why they're looking to change quarterbacks.
I don't know. I heard he might be coming to the Jets.
Don't they always talk about guys that don't
like
put up
agent.
Board
is
numbers like, oh, who's the next guy?
No, I heard Alex
they
Smith
They were talking about Bortles
out.
During the game today. The guy won the game.
Yeah.
The guy ran for almost 100 yards.
Because
since when is Blake Bortles Randall Cunningham?
I know.
Does he run?
Because that game was 3-3 up till what, the fourth quarter?
He ran for about 90 yards. Let me pull it up for you, Slap Happy. Both those defenses played
Look,
great.
I wasn't watching
that. Tyrod Taylor got his head slammed in numerous times.
Concussion protocol.
Finally dismissed at the end of the game when the guy.
I was kind of hoping that Buffalo would have won. And they could have went up to New England and did some magic and upset that the evil empire, Darth Vader and the boys up there in New England.
Blake Bortles, 10 carries for 88 yards.
That's insane.
That's the difference in that game. Because neither guy, but neither guy could throw accurate to save their life.
Now Jacksonville plays Pittsburgh
in the accuracy department. But the running game, listen, you know what 88 yards from a quarterback is? That is ball control.
Yeah.
That's moving the chains. That's just disrupting.
That's all they were doing.
That Buffalo had, and they still only lost 10-3. Guy Peterman came in, completed his first pass. Everyone thought he was going to lead him down the field for a touchdown to tie the game up.
So once again, New England gets the bye. Now they get to play Mariota and the Titans.
Mariota
and the Titans at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Saturday Night Football. NBC.
The Falcons play the Eagles in Philly.
Yeah, I think
Jacksonville goes to Pitt.
Can beat the Eagles. I think that one's tough. I think the Eagles will find a way to win the game.
You know what the best game out of this whole group
Maybe
is?
Maybe not. Maybe the Falcons win.
The Saints.
The, back to the, Super Bowl.
The Saints versus the Vikings. That's old school. Is that old school right there? That's old school football right there.
Come out of that conference. That is a very tough conference to pick.
I don't know. That's old school football right there, those two. Now, Pittsburgh, I heard Antonio Brown is back. So they got their full arsenal of receivers and everybody else is all ready to go.
Right.
Pittsburgh's loaded, but they can't beat New England. But the rumor to that, this thing got me this week. All of a sudden now, Kraft and your boy Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Oh, why is he my boy? Tell me.
Because you're.
Well, tell me why he's my boy.
You liked him when he was on the Parcells when he was here.
I liked him when he was here. Yeah. You didn't like.
I did.
You
like
didn't
him.
Like Belichick when
of
he ran the
did.
Jets defense.
Of course I did. I didn't like
then
when
you
he said
shut up,
when Bill Parcells went up to the podium and says, "Here, I'm handing the team over to Bill," and Bill goes, "No thanks." What the next day?
No,
he said, "No thanks."
Unlike you though, I didn't blame Belichick for leaving though.
Why?
Because I could understand him not wanting to follow in Parcells' footsteps. And having Parcells look over his shoulder. Because Parcells wasn't leaving. He was still going to be in charge.
Right, I got you. Yeah,
I could understand him not wanting Parcells looking over. I understood what he did. I guess I wasn't upset at the time because the only thing I had to go by in terms of him being a regular season or a head coach, let's say, was his stint in Cleveland, which wasn't horrible, but he didn't do anything special. So I think at the time, in 2000, I still looked at him as like one of those great defensive minds that never made the transition to be a head coach. Like, Bud Carson was a tremendous defensive mind with the Steel Curtain in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And he did a great job with the Jets in the mid-80s with the sack exchange.
Right.
And that was probably the best Jet team I ever saw, 85, 86, those years. Right? And the same thing with Buddy Ryan. As great, maybe the best defensive mind ever, arguably.
Well, he has to be.
And what he did with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
But when he was a head coach, you know, and Bud Carson, I think, coached the Browns at one time. But I know Buddy Ryan coached the Eagles. He left the Bears to be the head coach of the Eagles. And neither guy was anything special as a head coach. They didn't, you know, they made the playoffs, but they didn't do anything special.
Right.
So maybe
but
I felt
the players
maybe I
them.
Just felt that Belichick was the same kind of mold from where those guys came. A great defensive mind and a great coordinator, but maybe not a head coach. So I wasn't as upset, and I understood why he left. I just didn't expect him to turn into Darth Vader.
Which he is.
And turn the New England Patriots
into the Eagle,
of the 2000s
empire.
And beyond
yes.
into the 1980s and beyond San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
I mean, it's just amazing, the dominance. The cheating and all the other stuff, the gates.
Yeah, but if you
all that garbage, even with it, even including it, it's amazing what they've done. I mean, they just completed their eighth straight season with 12 or more wins.
12 or more wins.
I mean,
right.
Can you
13?
Can somebody
13
sit there and explain that? How do you do that? The Jets have one 12-win season in their existence.
One.
Once.
Yes.
Like Danny Vermin and Johnny Dangerous. Remember that with Joe Piscopo?
Yes, once.
You shouldn't hang me on a hook, Johnny.
Yeah.
My mother hung me on a hook once.
Well, here you go. Well, you know what?
Once.
Now they're saying that Belichick might be out of here, might be coming to the Giants. Maybe.
That's a giant fantasy.
That's a fantasy for the New York Giants fans.
That's a fantasy amongst Giant fans because they don't know where Parcells is anyway to call him out of, you know, being...
They need something.
Grave.
But now Kraft is
so
like...
They're begging for Belichick to come save the Giants?
The guy's almost 70 years old, that
guy. I almost hope he does go to the Giants.
Yeah, but you know what? Why
would he leave New England?
Why would he leave?
He's the king.
The guy's won 5 Super Bowls up there. He's won 5 Super Bowls. He's been in 7
upset
Super Bowls.
Because
the guy's got 7 rings. Because he got 2 rings as a defensive coordinator for the Giants. And he's won 5 on himself as a head coach. Himself.
Right, but what's the whole story you meant? They're upset.
The whole story.
He's a guru that helps him.
Yeah.
As a trainer, nutrition and health.
Was that the whole story?
Different
was it
types of treatments to heal injuries.
Yeah.
And this guy has an office at the stadium. He was on charter flights with the team.
Right.
He was on the sidelines with Brady. And it probably just boiled down to this guy making too much money, where it probably got to a certain point where the Pats weren't getting any of that money. And only him and Brady were. And they didn't take him totally away from Brady, like, you can't have this guy. He still has an office at the stadium.
Yes.
But they probably figured that since they saw the ledger and said, oh, we don't get any of this money as an organization. This is my team, Bob Kraft. They probably figured maybe we shouldn't let this guy accumulate even more wealth without us having, you know, a stake in it. And they probably just said, no more of this or this. But he's not eliminated totally. And Brady is a business partner with this guy.
Yes.
I saw the whole thing. And I saw it weeks ago. Before ESPN thought they uncovered something yesterday or 2 days ago.
We knew about this one.
Outside the Line special.
But don't forget,
I saw something about this weeks ago. And I'm like, all right, the guy's probably making too much money. The only other thing I can think of is maybe he's getting too many patients to go his way in terms of treatments, and the medical staff with the Pats is like, hey, you know, you're getting in the way.
But here's the deal. Brady takes a break. Brady takes a pay cut so the Patriots could sign other players.
Brady has so much money.
So what is the big deal if Brady does this other thing on the side to make some extra cash?
I don't think anybody has a problem
but
with
Brady,
what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think that the Patriots organization, or Bob Kraft, who owns the Patriots,
right,
and whoever else has a percentage, probably sees that there's a lot of money or wealth being accumulated that they don't have a percentage of. And maybe that's why they're not giving them full access to all this stuff now. It's the only thing I can think of other than, like I said, maybe there is something with the true medical staff that works for the Patriots, feeling this guy is in the way of them treating certain athletes with injuries and stuff. Or maybe the strength and conditioning team, the coaches, feel he's in the way of them getting accomplished what they want in terms of the physical fitness and the, you know,
right,
preparation of these athletes.
Well, here's the deal.
In
17 years.
We're
going
to take a break now
because
it's almost 9:30.
And I want to bring this one
before
point
before the
up.
Break, let me update you on the scoreboard. As everybody else in the division has won already, the Capitals won, Columbus won, the Islanders won, which means the Devils lost.
Thank you.
And at the end of 2, Boston leads Pittsburgh 5-4.
So shoot, big score. It's going to be a
shootout. Looks like an Islander game.
Yes, looks like an Islander game.
Down the igloo.
It looks like an Islander game.
And with that, we're coming back after the break, folks. 631-888-8811 is the number to call. If you want to give us a shout, talk sports, football, hockey, baseball, if you really see fit to start up the Hot Stove League. Go right ahead. You're with Sweeney and the Wasp for another half hour. Make the most of it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on SportsTalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to SportsTalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks, here with Sweeney and the Wise here.
We're back.
Sports Talk 1240. We got less than a half hour to go. And my partner, Mr. Sweeney,
has
got to
big.
Continue talking about the team that has owned the AFC East for the better part of 17, 18 years.
I want to talk about Bill Belichick.
All right.
In 17 years.
Right.
17 years, right? He's been the one coach. How many Super Bowls have they been in? Do you know?
Seven, no?
They've been in seven.
You're talking about just the Patriots?
Just the Patriots. Talk about Bill, Wild Bill.
They won five. I know they won seven because they lost twice to a certain quarterback.
The Giants.
Who Giant fans don't want to see anymore. That's even better.
How many coaches in that 17-year span do you think the New York Jets had?
Since 2000?
Yeah.
Or 2001?
Since 2000. 2000.
Well, they had Al Groh. That's one.
That's one.
Right. They had Herm Edwards. That's two. Mangini's three. Rex Ryan's four, right? And five with Bowles. So five. I didn't look it up.
No, you're 100% right. That's it.
How many
Super Bowls have we been in and how many Super Bowls have we won?
How many have we been in since when? Since 2000? Or since
17 years. Since Belichick's been up in New England.
We haven't been in any.
Thank you.
Zero.
What does that mean?
Mr. Blutowski.
What is
zero,
that?
Zero,
zero. Right. The worst of all this whole group is.
Whole class is incomplete. What about it?
The Oakland Raiders have been through 10 coaches.
But they went to the Super Bowl in 2002.
Yes, they did. I know they did, yeah.
They just got whacked by Tampa.
Yeah, whacked bad. Well, like you said, well, maybe Gruden had...
Gruden going back to Oakland.
Gruden might have had the book.
We could feel bad now. They had the playbook. And
Gruden got this tremendous, crazy contract. 10 years, $100 million, and he gets 10% of the team. Which is, like, I don't know what's going on up there.
Was he 10% of the team?
Yeah, something like that.
Somebody was interviewing him.
That's the only way he was going to do it.
He said that that was patently false, that statement about getting a stake in the team. Are you sure that's true that he got
I heard he's getting 10% of it.
He hasn't even been introduced yet.
They said 10%.
Tomorrow?
Something like that. He's also playing coy.
But he
coy.
Said that was totally false.
Oh, he did?
So maybe he lied.
So we'll see tomorrow.
We'll see if he's lying, too.
The Bills... The Raiders had 20 coaches in the 17 years. Excuse me.
What?
No.
20? Get out of here.
No, 10. I'm sorry.
What are you, blind?
The Bills had 8.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
we're going down. Fire, like the 49ers, 8.
The Bills finally made the playoffs after almost 20 years. Of course they had to go through coaches.
Yeah. But the Jets have 5 now coaches. They've done nothing.
Now I got to look up things to qualify what you're saying before people are on the other end of their radio saying, what the hell is that guy talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's right there.
No, but let me see. Coaches. The Raiders. 1.
10.
They had Toronto and Allen 1 year? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow.
And listen to this. Pittsburgh.
You said like 20, though.
No, I was kidding around. It was 10. I said 10 in the beginning.
All right.
Listen, the Giants have had 3 head coaches in that time, and they've won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They won 2 Super Bowls. Okay, so there you go. They got 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, Fossil took them to a Super Bowl too.
Well, they lost that one. They've been in 3 Super Bowls. Right, they've been in 3.
In 2000, they lost to the Ravens.
Right, they've been in 3. They got blown out.
Giant fans can't do anything.
All
the Giant fans out there, you should all go straight to hell. the way you talk about your quarterback, who's going to the Hall of Fame, no matter what you want to say about him. You should all go straight to hell. You're so unappreciative of what you've had with that team. I don't even know how they win. Sweeney, they gave up the most points ever defensively of a team to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Was that the first one or the second one? That was the second one when they beat the Pats. They had no business beating them.
No.
They had no business going to the playoffs that year. They went courtesy of the Jets in that 99-yard slant to Cruz.
Yes, that's what it was. That was the turning point of the season.
Oh, my God.
Was it that Christmas or something like that? Yeah.
Christmas Eve.
All right, listen to this. Pittsburgh, I know we both have feelings about Pittsburgh, you know, how I feel about Pittsburgh, and I want to see them, Jacksonville beat them in the worst way.
Let's say why. I mean, they had a military veteran who plays for them.
Right. Went to West Point.
Alejandro, whatever his name is. What's his name?
West Point, yes, Alejandro.
Right.
West Point
a
graduate.
A military guy goes out
in
for the
combat,
anthem,
in combat.
And none of them go out there and stand with
him?
Not even the coach. You know what? I hope Pittsburgh gets whacked at home in front of their lousy towel-waving fan base. I hope they get crushed by Jacksonville.
They can wipe that towel, yes.
I hope they lose. Just for that one moment. I don't care. You can do all the pro. You can do whatever you want. That was horrible. I don't care about your players' union. They got the worst players' union of any professional sports.
I know, 100%.
They sell each other down the river. You're so concerned about concussions. I never saw Cam Newton had to take a knee because he was so dizzy going to the sidelines at the end of that playoff game. And they let him come back? They let him come back into that game. That's why I don't want to hear from guys, oh, I had concussion issues. No kidding. They should have took him out of the game, and he should have been done for the rest of the game.
I agree 100% with you.
Just like they had to do with the tight end from Kansas City last night, Kelce.
Took him out.
He got whacked, knocked on. That's it. You're done.
Gone. Took him out of the game.
Supposed to look out for their health.
Yeah.
No, we're more concerned with the Panthers possibly coming back.
That's because they were down by
or
five.
Or did somebody say, put him in, we need to cover the spread? What was that one?
Probably because football is the biggest gambling of anything.
Corrupt. You know what? The hell with that.
Well, Pittsburgh's had.
And while we're at it, there's no New York teams in this area. They both play in Jersey. Buffalo's New York's team. Now we're out. That's right.
Well, real quick with Pittsburgh.
What?
They've had two coaches.
Chuck Noll?
No, they have two in 17
Bill
years.
Bill Cowher?
Yes. And this guy.
And Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. In 17.
Who I liked, and I would like him even more if he would have stood next to that soldier during the anthem.
But they have three.
I hope he loses.
They have three Super Bowls, right?
Who?
Right or wrong, Pittsburgh.
Three?
In 17.
What are you talking about? They have six Super Bowls.
No, I'm talking about 17 years.
They've won twice, right? Would they win 2005 and 2008? Cowher won one, and
Tomlin won
early
two.
On.
Two. Does he have two?
Did he win with his own team? Or
he won one. Yes, right, exactly.
He lost to the Packers.
Yes, he lost to the Packers.
Don't give him any more than he deserves, please.
We're not going this year, right. And that's it. Well, that was my point. Bill Belichick is the only guy, the only one in the whole league that's been there for 17 years, and he's been in the Super Bowl.
It's amazing.
Seven times. Seven, which is insane. No matter what you say about him, he's a guy's a genius. Even though they're crooked, this and that, and the tuck rule. You want to go to tuck rule? Yeah. Okay. Oh, Seattle, and then the Super Bowl. Seattle, instead of running the ball at the 2-yard line, they throw a pass, which is the stupidest thing ever. But this is how they win. This is how football is. You know, they get cute.
Think about that for a minute, right?
Think about it. Look at last year. Atlanta crumbled at the end. They should
have
ran the ball.
Anything away from his success because the Pats have clearly owned the AFC and the AFC East in particular. For 17-18.
If you're a Pats fan, you're ecstatic.
Like they should have never beaten Seattle.
Never. They should have.
I mean, Pete Carroll. You know what?
What was he thinking?
You know what, Pete?
Trying to give Russell Wilson the MVP.
Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl against Denver. You know what, Pete? You suck.
You know what he
was
doing?
That was horrible.
He was trying to make Russell Wilson
with that dopey criminal from Oakland.
Yeah.
He would have pounded right into the end zone.
The guy was running all over him. And you couldn't. Even
Russell Wilson. Why not even just have him take a shotgun snap, step back like he's going to throw, and then run?
Why would
you try to throw that pass?
That made no sense.
You could throw it second, a third down, but right away. You just rammed the ball down the field and down their throat to get there. And then with the
Falcons
last year, I mean, come on.
When the how Falcons, did you not come out and not Falcons, run the ball in the second half?
When the Falcons picked off Brady and took it all the way back to Dallas, I was actually laughing. I was like, I can't believe that they're going to lose in an embarrassing fashion. They were killing them. What was the score of the game? Was it 25-3?
It was some quick. It was by like 20.
You know what? I don't remember the score because
by 23 points.
The score was so one-sided. I took a nap. I had a nice fat boy dinner, and I laid down and took a nap because I couldn't believe that the Pats were going to lose the Super Bowl. I thought I was dreaming.
Belichick.
It turned out I think I was dreaming. And then when I really woke up, That's when I saw the real Patriot team, and they came back and won that game too.
Unbelievable.
So instead of being
Atlanta choked, instead of gave it to
3-4 in the Super Bowl, they're 5-2.
They should have lost to Seattle. The tuck rule with Oakland in the championship game, that was
that was a rule. That,
right. That was a
poorly written rule. They benefited from it. So
but I'm just saying, this is it. I mean, but bottom line is, if you're a Patriot, if you're growing up, if you're a 20-year-old, 25-year-old kid or something like that, or a 17-year-old kid, and you've been following the Patriots.
If you're a Pats fan in your 30s, 40s, think about the kind of life you've had.
Oh my God! Seven.
Nobody's got it better than you. And then during that time, the Celtics won, and the Boston even won a Stanley Cup. The Red Sox broke their curse.
Three
titles.
They won Ortiz and them. Yeah, but listen, Belichick's not coming to the Giants. Belichick's going nowhere. You think Kraft's going to let him go? There is no way Bill Belichick's leaving that team.
They got such a bond.
There's
with
no way.
Anyway.
When Brady's talking about staying another 4 or 5, Flyers 40 years old, he's going to play through his 45.
They
win three more times.
They were trying to throw this garbage out there about because Garoppolo was traded?
Yeah, that's right. That's the whole reason why.
Did anybody even know who Garoppolo was when he came out of
college? Because he hasn't lost a game.
Does anybody even know where Garoppolo played college football?
No. No.
You better wait, folks. Everybody who's on the big Garoppolo
that's the
trail.
Reason.
On the wagon following Garoppolo, you better wait until he plays a full season after all these teams have enough film to break down and dissect what they want to do.
That's how it works.
Guy.
You're 100% right.
Like all these other quarterbacks I saw that were going to be so great when they got to another team. I don't really care that he
won
5 in a row.
No, but he was.
I don't care.
But he threw 7 touchdowns and threw 5 picks.
I don't care if he won 5 in a row.
It wasn't like he was like doing
Niners.
Some great thing.
It means nothing to me. Let him play a full season.
Right.
Way to go to college. Do you know where he went to college?
No.
All right, exactly.
I don't know anything about him. All I know is he stepped in when Brady was out with the suspension.
Because Brady wanted him traded, that's where the rift cup. Just give him, please, just
that is the
nonsense.
Here we go with the fake news again.
Brady's going to play into his mid-40s, guess
yes.
what? That means he's going to give you another 4 or 5 years. And then that fat slob on ESPN, Golic, had the nerve to say after they traded Garoppolo that, I guess I'm just, I don't want to misquote the guy, but he said something to the effect of, Brady's got to answer for that. That trade in the next few years. Really, answer for what? He is
got
the entire existence of Patriot football.
Yeah.
Is there even another Hall of Famer that played for the Pats during his reign of terror?
No.
I know of one, and he was a field goal kicker, Vinatieri.
Yeah,
he's going to the Hall of Fame. A couple of guys are debatable. Now, Gronkowski probably is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, no, 100%. Right? He's the best tight end ever.
But I'll say
what about Randy Moss?
He wasn't there for the first couple of Super Bowls. Gronkowski wasn't there for the first few Super Bowls.
No.
All right?
Randy Moss, but they lost that year.
He didn't win anything.
They lost the Super Bowl to the Giants.
Yeah, so don't name him. All right? Who else, though? Richard Seymour? Maybe. I don't know if they'll put him in the Hall of Fame. Maybe. Ty Law? Maybe.
Bruschi?
Gronkowski is a Hall of Famer.
Teddy Bruschi
there for those first three.
Bruschi?
Bruschi is not a Hall of Famer.
No. Okay. All right,
he's
there
not
you go.
Mike Singletary.
No.
He's no Ray Lewis. He's none of those guys.
No.
He's not Jack Lambert. He ain't nobody.
I'll tell you
He was a solid linebacker. He was as good for the Patriots because of Belichick as Mo Lewis was.
How about
Jets
this?
With Belichick.
Is Revis a Hall of Famer? He played on that team.
Mo Lewis to the Hall of Fame induction,
yes.
Brady.
Yes.
So he could shake his hand and thank Mo Lewis for knocking Bledsoe out.
Brady should send him $1 million every year. What about Revis?
He should give him an annuity.
What about Revis? Is Revis getting to the Hall of Fame? Is he the Hall of Famer that was on that? He won. Maybe.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
So do I, but he is going to the Hall of Fame. You know he's going to the Hall of Fame, so do I.
Yeah, because...
He is going to the
Hall
of Fame.
ESPN
put him on the Hall of Fame. Look, he was good. He was really good. But ESPN made him bigger than he is.
He's really good. He's no Deion.
Okay, listen. It is...
15 minutes to go.
What is the score of this Ranger game?
Is there a score yet? You trying to break my audio?
No, I'm just trying. I'm trying to see. Hold on, that's because I got a big announcement to come up right now.
The Ranger game is scoreless in the first period.
Okay.
And Pittsburgh has tied Boston 5-5.
Here we go, 5-5. It's an Islander game. It's like an Islander game right now. Hold on. It is now 9:46, 9:47. I have something to unravel. What is on? What shirt am I wearing?
Islanders?
What am I wearing right here?
It looks like you're wearing Islander color.
What is this? The Vegas
it says
Knights!
Adidas. Adidas.
I'm wearing a Vegas Knights.
Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh,
yeah,
it's beautiful.
You should, because the guy's a big military supporter.
They're beautiful.
Name them after the Army team,
beautiful.
Right?
Black and gold. The looks like hey, Army won 10 games.
Well, see, folks, I understand this thing that goes on.
So here
on.
We go.
And this has gone on
now
around
it's gonna
the better part of the last 30 years. It's called, my team sucks, so I got to find a team to root for. And Ron Sweeney has rooted for many teams over the years. Let's
break it down.
Time. Do we have any sad music to play while we recount all the teams that John Sweeney... Brian doesn't have any music for us. But let's try and recount all the teams that John Sweeney has rooted for. At least since the lockout. In 2006, John Sweeney was a big New Jersey Devil fan.
Yeah.
In 2007, after the Thrashers let him down, he spent his time rooting for the Buffalo Sabres. And that didn't last much longer than beating the Rangers. In 2008... he went to the dark side because the Devils let him down when the Rangers beat them in five games. And then he rooted for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who bounced the Rangers in five games. In 2009, he was a
keep
Washington Capital fan. In 2010, he didn't need a team because the Rangers missed the playoffs the last game of the year, which I'm pretty sure he was rooting for the Philadelphia Flyers that day, too. In 2011, he was back to rooting for OV8 and the Capitals, and they knocked the Rangers out in the first round. In 2012, he got a little nervous. Ottawa let him down. The Capitals let him down because they can't get past the second round. And in the third round, he got lucky as the Devils paid him a little respect with Marty Brodeur's last win ever in the playoffs.
Yes.
And they beat the Rangers in six games. The 40-year-old beat the alleged queen of New York City. Okay. In 2013, Mr. Sweeney lost out rooting for the Capitals because the Rangers won that series also. But he was a Beanpot fan in round two when the Bruins beat the Rangers in five games. In 2014, it got real hot under the collar.
That was
as the
best.
Rangers beat the Flyers in the first round while Sweeney was sweating it out. And in the second round, he thought he had a victory with Pittsburgh. Unfortunately for the Sweeney dog, the Rangers came back from a 3-1 deficit because of Marty St. Louis and his magic.
We are family.
The Penguins. And then he was in his ice cream shop making French toast shakes, hoping the Canadians were going to beat the Rangers, but that didn't happen.
Either. Almost. Yeah. Almost. Well, Kreider knocked Price out of the game.
That's right. And then Mike Richter's,
series.
Mike Richter's
Mike Richter.
Favorite fan,
yes,
Jonathan Quick, bounced the Rangers in the Stanley Cup to help Mr. Sweeney avert a total disastrous summer of 2014.
Dustin Brown, the boys, hold the cup up.
2015. He had no luck in the first two rounds as the Rangers beat the Penguins and the Capitals, who we once again say cannot get past that second round. And in the semifinals, he was a big Florida fan with the Tampa Lightning.
Loved
them. The Rangers out.
That's right.
Game.
That was the best.
2016, the Penguins did him a favor. 2017, which was last year, the Canadians and his favorite goalie, other than Jonathan Quick, Carey Price, couldn't beat the Rangers. But in the second round, the Rangers saw fit to do Mr. Sweeney a favor instead, because he knows that the Rangers had no business losing that series, but they decided to hand it on a silver platter to the Ottawa Senators, and that was his favorite team last year.
Oh, 100%. Now this year, who?
And now this year, Mr. Sweeney likes to cling to hope that he's always been an LA Kings fan since the days of Marcel Dion and Charlie Simmer and the Triple Crown line, which I think he's lying about. He just rooted for them in the Stanley Cup in 2014. But he'll say he roots for them. But how does he do that when the Vegas Knights are in first place? You can't.
Bingo!
Can you root for both of them?
Hey, I think it's a, look, I like it. Could there be my third team?
No,
I'm rooting for him tonight. Let's put it that way, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, I'm a Vegas Knight fan.
7 minutes in, it's still scoreless in the first
period. We'll see how that works out for you. And now,
over in regulation, as they head to overtime, Bruins and Pens tied at five.
This is all, who's going to be in last place right now after this?
So right now, I believe the Islanders
Boston
have less games played. So as long as the Islanders can maintain that tie in points, they will be ahead of Pittsburgh. Because Pittsburgh will have one more game played. But if Pittsburgh gets another point between the overtime or the shootout, you will be in the cellar.
In the cellar.
Which means break out the wine. Because that's the only other thing.
We got 5 days to regroup.
Your team.
Hey, look, Bailey's out, right? Like I said, Bailey's out, lads out. We got to get those two guys right back right away.
You know, we didn't talk about the NFL draft at all or anything like that?
Not yet.
Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Are you done talking about?
No, we're done. All right,
we're done. About the Patriots?
Yes, we're done about that. But it's amazing to me how.
Are you a closet Patriots fan?
No, but I'm saying. No,
I'm just curious.
I can't stand the Patriots. I can't.
Do you know that I actually don't hate the Patriots as much as a lot of other Jet fans do? I think I've waved the white flag a long time ago.
Well, I mean, it's like how many times are you going to get beat up? It's like you're the kid that goes down the block and the bullies beat you up all the time.
I got to be honest with you, because I was so happy when the Jets beat them in the playoffs in 2010. Because they knocked off Peyton in the first round.
Yes.
Then they beat...
That was huge.
Then they beat Brady.
That was huge.
Right? They beat Peyton, they beat Brady. And if he completed the comeback, Sanchez would have beaten Roethlisberger. Right? And then all he would have had to
the
do...
The second half.
Then
the
he would
first
have just
half, they
beat
blew
Rodgers
that.
In the Super Bowl, he'd be a legend, right?
He almost did it.
We would have been talking about the butt fumble, we'd be talking about his one Super Bowl the way they talk about Joe Namath's one Super Bowl.
You know,
am I right?
You're 100% right.
He's the Mexican version of Joe Namath. He gets all the women.
People still
very pretty
complain about Sanchez saying how horrible he was and this and that. He wasn't.
Because they don't know what they're talking about.
Because that second half, the first half, Pittsburgh ran all over them. The second, they came back the second half. They should have won that game. They were prime ready to go, man.
Give you the top quarterbacks in Jet history. Number one is Joe Namath, right? 27,000 passing yards. Number two is Ken O'Brien, 24,000 passing yards.
My boy, my childhood hero.
The third leading passer was Richard Todd. 18,000 plus yards.
He was really good.
The only reason he's number three all time in passing yardage is because Chad Pennington got hurt a lot. But Chad is number four. Okay?
Very accurate.
Number five in passing yardage is Vinny Testaverde only because he stuck around so long.
98.
I'm gonna let that slide because he should be below Mark Sanchez. Sanchez got hurt, so he didn't get to play his last year. Otherwise, he would be fifth in passing yardage in Jet history. So Namath, O'Brien, Todd, Pennington, and Sanchez.
Yeah,
those five guys, what do all five of those guys have in common?
What all five of those guys have in common?
Joe Namath.
Yes.
Richard Todd.
Well, Namath won a Super Bowl.
Ken O'Brien. No.
Yeah.
He won a Super Bowl. So they obviously don't all have that in common.
Right.
So Joe Namath, Ken O'Brien, Richard Todd, Chad Pennington, and Mark Sanchez. Five Jet quarterbacks. What do those five quarterbacks all have in common?
Good receivers.
You're an idiot, Sweeney.
Good running backs.
I can't believe I let you be my partner.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
They were all drafted in the first round
by
the New York Jets.
Okay.
Well, that's not the case for every franchise.
But no,
by the way.
Yeah.
And for a franchise that keeps screaming, we got to bring in Kirk Cousins, or we got to grab this free agent.
Alex Smith.
Or we got to draft.
Right.
For whatever you want
out there. I'm just saying, yeah.
Whatever anybody thinks is out there as a free agent that you want to take all this money we've saved that we need to spend to buy players to build a team since we have such empty drafts in prior years. All the best success for this franchise has come from quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round by this team. Not in the third round. Not in
second
the second round
like Hackenberg.
Like Geno Smith. Not in the third round or the fourth round like Petty. Or like Kellen Clemens or Browning Nagel. Not in any other round, but in the first round, all the quarterbacks we took had a measure of success. Some, you know, Sanchez, all his success really was in the playoffs.
Yeah, but their first round picks.
Richard Todd had a mix of both as they got
to the but their first round picks, though.
Joe Namath did what he did with the AFL. Ken O'Brien probably had the best skill.
Yeah.
Take away Namath and all his injuries. Of the other quarterbacks.
That draft was
of all the quarterbacks that got drafted by the Jets and didn't win. And I'm a big Chad Pennington guy, but Ken O'Brien might have had the best skill set amongst them in terms of dropping back, reading a defense, and throwing the ball with arm strength. Pennington just happened to be the smartest.
Yeah.
That's why he lived at a pro level. He was the best at breaking down film probably, reading defenses, and winning games with his brain as opposed to his raw skill. But Ken O'Brien might have been the best. His only downfall with O'Brien is he never won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Because when the team won, it was Pat Ryan at quarterback.
Right.
He almost had that one win when he came in against the Browns when they lost that double overtime game.
Yeah.
They would have won that game. They were up 20-10 with 4 minutes to go. If they would have won that game, they would have played the Broncos in the championship game.
Everybody,
that 51-45 overtime game against.
But
the
you know,
Dolphins.
that O'Brien, which we all know about this, that O'Brien draft, was stacked. Marino went after everybody. I know Marino
everybody
number
passed,
one, but
everybody
Marino's,
passed on him.
Everybody passed
because
on
him. Because of alleged stories
I mean,
and all that stuff.
But you know what though? You think Marino? If Marino would have, the Jets would have drafted Marino. You think we would have ended up going deep, wanting something?
You know, would Marino have been a better Jet quarterback than O'Brien?
I mean, I thought O'Brien was
I can't say that he wouldn't have been better. The guy had such a quick release.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have taken nearly the amount of sacks that O'Brien took. His arm strength, his passing numbers would have been outstanding probably because, playing from behind, garbage. You got to take all different things
right
into account. The one thing I'll say in O'Brien's favor is that head-to-head, he beat Marino more than Marino beat him.
Oh, yeah, that was a great game.
And Dan Marino had a Hall of Fame coach with Don Shula, and Ken O'Brien had Joe Walton.
Yeah, really?
And Bruce Coslett at the end. I mean, all I'm saying is this. If Ken O'Brien had like a Joe Gibbs or Bill Walsh as his coach, he threw it for 24,000 and change. I mean, he had very good pitch. Believe it or not, Ken O'Brien, for his era in pro football in the 80s, he was one of, if not the most accurate thrower. He used to win that skills competition all the time.
All the time. Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
He's always
won that thing, yeah.
See, like today, with all the film breakdown and all the West Coast offense and the slants, nowadays, a quarterback's got to throw 65, 70 completion percentage to be good.
Good,
right?
Yeah.
If he's anywhere 60 or below, it's like, this guy stinks, right? But back then, 58. Percent, which was like right where O'Brien was, that was a high percentage. He was a tremendously accurate quarterback. Had a strong arm. He would take a sack. He was the only guy I knew that played for the Jets that could take a sack and complete, be facing a 3rd and 20 and throw a 30-yard pass for a first down to Altoon downfield or Wesley Walker. But
he was the best.
He had 3/4 of a sack exchange with Lyons, Klecko, and Gastineau. He had Bud Carson as a defensive coordinator in 1985, 1986. He had the defense. Solid linebackers with Lance Smell and Buttle and a few other guys. Kyle Clifton was working his way in there. Bob Crable was there, right?
Right, yeah.
And they had skill. They had Wesley Walker, Altoon.
Toon was a great receiver.
Ricky Shula. And you had a duo in the backfield with Free McNeil and Johnny Hector, right?
Hector.
I mean, they had the skill. They had the quarterback.
They were there. They were
okay,
right on the...
Okay offensive lineman, right? I mean, they were okay. McElroy was eh. They had Marvin Powell. He was great.
Powell was awesome.
And Sweeney was good at center.
Yes.
But they didn't have the right head coach. You ask anybody who played for those Jet teams, they would say, we had everything, we didn't have the right head coach.
1 minute. Here we go.
And that,
anyway,
that ends
let's
the,
hope the Jets grab
5 minutes of feeling bad for yourself Jet segment that we just had. And we got less than a minute to go in the show. And
less than a
out
minute.
Out of Vegas, it is still scoreless.
Hanks.
Between the Rangers and the Golden Knights.
Hank's standing on his
and
head
Pavelec
again.
Pavelec is in net tonight.
Oh, that's why.
He's already
maybe that's
got
why.
7 saves. And your team's still hovering, waiting to see the...
If Halak was
five,
it, if it was the Islanders, Halak would have like 15 saves
that
by now.
That was a quick hour.
Thank
you. Welcome, Caldwell. We failed you out by filling in.
There you go.
Next time, and we're not telling you when that is. But the Rangers reign supreme in New York. Everybody else sits and waits. And the Islanders face a trip to the basement and the loss of their captain for the future.
Never happened. You won't sign.
Will happen before we come back.
Ledecky, offer, give him a load of money. $11 million, $10 million, whatever it is. Whatever he wants, $12 million, pay him.
All right, folks. Have a good night. We'll see you next time. Tune in to Love. Out of here.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.